I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. When you hear environmentalist, you think sandal-wearing, tofu-eating yuppie, right? Or maybe briefcase-toting, Al Gore-quoting political activist. But do you ever think inner-city youth? Veteran filmmaker Robert Nixon did. He's the producer of feature films like Gorillas in the Mist, and he's the chairman of the Earth Conservation Corps program. Nixon designed the Corps to help clean up the Anacostia River in Washington, D.C. His vision was that teenagers from troubled neighborhoods would help reclaim the river, and in doing that, reclaim their communities and their lives. But the project took an unexpected turn when Nixon realized that a dirty river was the least of the challenges his volunteers had to face. Robert Nixon joins us now, along with Earth Conservation Corps Youth Program Director Rodney Stotz and Career Training Program Coordinator LaShante Moore. Both are Corps graduates. Welcome to Tell Me More.
Thank you.
Mr. Nixon, you started this program to get kids to be environmentally active, but there's no nice way to say this. The kids started dying. What happened?
When I looked at starting the Earth Conservation Corps, I saw a picture in the New York Times of Lower Beaver Dam Creek, choked with trash and tires. I just couldn't believe it. But I just thought I would come to Washington and recruit young people who were not being given the opportunity to do anything positive. Very soon, after a few months, one of our Corps members was killed. In a recent stretch in Prince George's County, in 11 days, there were 11 young people murdered. Not that much has changed in terms of untold crisis facing young men and women from the inner city.
Did you expect that at the time when you started the program? Did you know that? Or is this something you found out later?
I knew that the environment needed help. What I was amazed with was the desire and ability of the young people to literally jump physically into the creek and start cleaning it up. And then quickly saw the reality of the stark crisis that they have to deal with on a daily basis. Being a pallbearer is not something I thought I was volunteering for. And it was a complete shock and kind of an untold secret. The random sort of free-floating rage that causes these kids to be cut down is just, it's unspeakable.
Rodney, did Bob literally come and say, "Who wants to jump in this creek?"
In so many words, yes.
You were the first volunteer.
One of the original nine.
So what was it that got your attention?
Two things. One, I really, really love the environment. I love animals. And the second was my daughter was maybe a year and a half. And one day I came home from the streets and she just walked up to me and said, "Dad, I love you." And that really made me stop and realize that I wouldn't be here for her.
Why do you say that? What were you into?
Illegal activities, drugs, guns, just the whole fast street life, everything that goes along with it, the violence, everything.
When your crew first saw you retire from your activities, did anybody say anything to you?
They called us the Planeteers, and I was Captain Planet. Surprisingly, I got more support to do the right thing. Even though I was in a dishonest business, the people that I were around were honest people, and I respected their opinions.
I was asking Bob Nixon this, that volunteers came in, the program got started, but then you started losing kids. What happened to these kids?
Surprisingly, violence follows you everywhere. Monique was killed in Texas. She wasn't killed here in D.C.
Monique Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Was she the first Corps member to
yes,
get killed?
Yes, ma'am.
What happened to her?
She was brutally raped and murdered by a despicable person. Let me just say that. And we went to Texas to do a project on a bayou. Everyone wanted to go out because one of the other Corps members, Anthony, and I had been down there for a couple of weeks and kind of learned the city a little bit. So we all went out that Friday night. We dropped Monique at her apartment. We went to our apartment because they didn't want one female living in an apartment with five guys. The next day, we got up. We was going about our normal day, but Monique had never came around to join us. So I sent Gerald around to get her, and when he came back, he gave us the news. So we went around and we found her in her tub.
How did that affect you?
It was numbing at the time. I went to 33 funerals in 92.
Wait a minute. Did I hear that right?
Yes, ma'am.
33 funerals?
In 1992. As a matter of fact, when I was flying back to Texas, that Friday when I was on the plane, they were burying a guy named Jesse that lived around in my neighborhood who was murdered. And then we found Monique the very next day. So I went from one funeral to hopping on a plane on the way to Texas, missing a funeral, to finding Monique the very next day.
Did it ever make you think that you had no future, that there was just, that this is just the way life is, that people just die?
Well, yes and no. The yes part is because of what I was seeing. The no is because I had a real strong family foundation that always told me, never let anything be your excuse, because that's what a lot of people end up doing. This person stopped me, that person stopped me. But when you ask them, well, what's their name? No one could ever tell you that. It's just society this and this and this. Well, society is not living at my front door.
LaShante, how did you get involved with Earth Conservation Corps?
I grew up around the corner from where we're located, First and Potomac Street, Southeast. I grew up in a neighborhood called Arthur Caper, and a lot of guys from my neighborhood went through the program. And so when I first saw him coming home, it was, they were coming home dirty. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And my younger brother joined the program, and he came home dirty, but he also came home laughing and joking. I had so much fun today. He was studying for his GED and getting his life on track. And at that time, I was 20 years old, had two small kids. I dropped out of school when I was pregnant with my first son. So I'm just sitting there, really not doing anything, getting caught up in the stories every day, you know. And my brother came home with his GED stuff, and he's like, well, can you help me? You know, I was never a bad student, just made bad choices. And he said, can you help me with this? And I'm sitting here going over this GED stuff with him, and I'm like, you know what? I need to do this, you know. So when it was time for the next corps to be recruited, I went down and applied.
What did you first do with ECC when you first joined? I know you're a big cheese now.
They like to make me think that.
What did you do when you first joined?
My first year in the Corps, I think I concentrated mostly on trying to get my GED. I started with media arts training, but it was mostly still camera work. I wasn't videotaping. I just was taking pictures wherever we went on projects.
So you didn't have to get dirty.
I did. Still got dirty. I remember in order to get into the program, for 2 weeks, they worked you to death. And they had us down at Beaver Dam in the water for 2 weeks. And
what are you doing in this water? I keep hearing about this water. What are you doing in this water?
We're in the water. We're in chest waders, you know, and I'm a skinny girl. So I got on these 10-pound waders and up to here, and I'm trying to walk in this water. I'm falling, getting muddy, pulling out trash, pulling out tires.
You're literally cleaning it up. This is literally, not hypothetical.
Yes,
you're literally cleaning out the trash. Did you ever think about quitting?
So many times. So many times, but I guess I didn't quit because I had always quit everything, you know, and I was like, you know, this is something that I need to stick out. I need to do this, not only for me, but for my children, my family.
Did other people in the neighborhood think you were a little crazy? I mean, did your girlfriends think,
thought I was crazy. They were like, you can go work somewhere else. You're coming home all dirty and muddy. And
what did you say to them?
So mind their business. You sitting home doing nothing. Let me go ahead and do what I got to do.
Mr. Nixon, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the fact that you're white, and most of the kids involved are African-American. And you don't often see a lot of high-profile people of color involved in the environmental movement. And my guess is that when you ask them why, they'll say, how can I prioritize that when I got all these kids out here getting killed?
My idea was to have a sort of integrated core, if you will, some kids maybe from Georgetown, you know, sort of representing the community at large. But we met Rodney and the other core members, and that's there. I think Rodney said, you know, how many positions are there? We're taking them all. And really, we've just never got out of that community. And I think the reason we're still right there is because this is a civil rights issue. The Anacostia River is one of the most polluted rivers in America. And it's no accident that it runs through this community that is one of the most under-resourced communities in America also. And it's been blocked off to the community. And so I think the reason we're still here is because the young men and women are determined to take back this precious resource.
Why do you stay with it?
I don't know. I haven't had a choice to leave. I mean, when... Rodney's still here, LaShante's still here. I mean, LaShante said we're family. And so, you know, how do you get out? You know, you're sort of stuck with your family. and I think we're all sort of joined because they're in sticking with this together because there's a tremendous, tremendous need that we've figured out over these years how to provide these resources and really have a great model for giving young men and women the chance to turn their lives around.
Rodney, if Black folks were to say to you, that whole environmental thing, that's nothing to do with me, I'm just trying to stay out here and survive, what would you say to them?
How wrong they were, because I thought that in the beginning of, you know, none of this mattered to me. It's about the money. It's about this.
When you started, would you ever have envisioned that you'd still be here?
No, ma'am.
You just celebrated your 15th anniversary.
I honestly, because honestly, the ECC, the Lower Beaver Dam, was supposed to be a 3-month project. Once people saw that, hey, these young guys are serious, these young people are serious, one of the things that I would tell them to do right now is donate, because we had to turn away more people than we can actually take in. So for everybody, donate, ECC1.org.
Can I call you a tree hugger?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You have one in here, I'll grab it right now.
All right. Rodney Stotts is Youth Coordinator. LaShante Moore is Career Training Coordinator. And Robert Nixon is Founder and Chairman of the Earth Conservation Corps, a community service program based in Washington, D.C. Robert Nixon also produced the documentary Endangered Species about their work and struggle in 2004. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
This weekend, we learned of yet another death in the Earth Conservation Corps family. Aaron Teeter had been a drug dealer. He became an environmentalist and community journalist. He was head of the organization's media arts program. This past Saturday, Aaron was sitting outside of his house in Southwest Washington when he was gunned down and killed. The Earth Conservation Corps said that Teeter was an advocate for improving the conditions in D.C. public schools and increasing the availability of social programs to youth. But the issue he was most passionate about, ending gun violence. Aaron Teeter was 19 years old.